2 Samuel chapter 6, and we'll look at the second half of this chapter. We'll ask God's blessings upon His Word before we begin. Father, we do pray and thank You for the time to gather together. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be warmed by the gospel. Lord, we're so thankful. We ask that You'll meet with us. Lord, without You, we're nothing. And it would just be, as we've said many times, just a social gathering. We do not want that. We want Emmanuel. We want God with us. We pray that You'll bless all that's said and done, Lord. And already, what we've already heard this day, Lord, what a blessing it's been. And I pray that each one will be excited about Your Word. We'll praise You for it all in Christ's name. Amen. If you will, look in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we'll read the last 12 verses there. It says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the handmaid of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. May the Lord bless His word. As we look at this, we'll review where we left last time. Remember, 3 months earlier, they had gone to do the same mission was to be carried out 3 months earlier. And remember, as they put that ark on top of the oxen, they were going by the threshing floor, and the ox stumbled, and remember Uzzah put his hand up to the ark, and God killed him for that disobedience. Well, the mission was aborted at that point, and they took that ark and moved it over to the house of Obed-Edom. And as we look at this today, many times when things happen, you know, recently we had a motorcycle accident, I think it was last Tuesday, where somebody was killed right there at Pumpkin Center in 22. And many times when those things happen, people put up a marker or something as a reminder that somebody has lost their life at this point. Many times throughout the Bible, I'm glad that things are done like this in the Bible. You know, they pile up the rocks after some type of mission, after some type of accomplishment, as reminders to us. And this is a reminder to us right here today that we're to do things in God's way, the way that God has instructed things to be done. And I'm glad, because I'm forgetful anyway, but I'm glad to be reminded over and over about things. So we see here that they are reminded I'm sure that there was something there that got talked about for a long time, the threshing floor there. But this, it says here that it's taken to the house of Obed-Edom. Why Obed-Edom's house? Is his house the closest one to where this happened? Were there other people that said, they said, how about if we take it to your house? They said, oh no. Maybe they acted like the Philistines and said, oh no. We know what it did when it when that ark went to those five Philistine cities. We don't want it in our presence. I don't know. But I think Obed-Edom said, I'll take it. I want it. He reverenced God. And, you know, I just think it's a great thing that David, you know, chose Obed-Edom's home. And like I said, I think one of the reasons why is because I think Obed-Edom had a great testimony. I think people realize that Obed-Edom loved God. God blessed him for that. But anyway, the ark resided there for 3 months in Obed-Edom's house. And it says his house was blessed greatly over those 3 months. And later on, the ark is moved again. And if you read in some of the other Old Testament books, Chronicles, we see that Obed-Edom moved with the ark. He said, wherever the presence of God is, that's where I want to be. You know, I'm excited about Jimmy's teaching, how he's gone over and over and over, how he wants the presence of God among us. And that just thrills me. And I think about Obed-Edom. That's the way Obed-Edom was. He wanted the presence of God. He wanted to be near the presence of God. He wanted to be surrounded by the presence of God. And what an advantage that was to him. And we'll see about that advantage in just a minute. In verse 12 it says, and it was told King David. Why was it told King David? I like to ask those questions. Why did somebody just walk up and say, hey, I want to let you know about Obed-Edom? No, you know what? I think David constantly wanted to know what was going on with the ark. I think David asked. That's why they told him. I think David inquired about the ark many times over those 3 months. It says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom. David's not surprised. And all that pertains unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. You know, if you look in 1 Chronicles, I think it's 13, 15, 16, and 26. We don't have time to go into all that. But you can learn a whole lot about Obed-Edom. And it's very interesting. Obed-Edom was in charge of the south gate. He had 8 sons that were all involved in the ministry of God. His sons were keepers in the storehouse. You know what it doesn't say about Obed-Edom? It says he was blessed greatly. It says nothing about him owning thousands of acres, about having thousands of cattle, thousands of sheep. Doesn't say that at all. Well, how did he bless him? He blessed him with a godly heritage. Nothing's any better than that. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Because if you think about it, you remember Eli. What kind of heritage did he have? He had ungodly children. Eli could have all that he wanted. You know, what if he had 1,000 acres? What if he had thousands of sheep and thousands of cattle? Big deal. Where is it at now? But that godly heritage will follow you. And it followed Obed-Edom with his godly priestly sons. But you know, also one of the things this did is this inspired David and inspired other people. David said, whoa, God's blessing him tremendously. He says, I want that. That's what I wanted. I wanted it brought to the city of David to where God's blessing would be upon all of us. And that ought to inspire us. When we see God blessing somebody, that ought to make us inquire and say, how's that happening? How's he doing that? Why is he doing that for this person? I want that. That ought to give us such an appetite for the things of God. But you know, another thing that this was telling David here, and the fact that he blessed Obed-Edom, he said, you know, God's no longer angry with us. You know, God disapproved, and he killed Uzzah. And he says here, God's no longer angry with us. We can go get that ark now that we've been reconciled back to God. But David is encouraged being in the right standing with God. So he says, let's go get the ark. This time the mission will be a big success. We're going to bring it back to Jerusalem. Nobody in their right mind wants to be at odds with somebody else. I mean, you see that all the time with Facebook and the little, things going back and forth. I could care less about that. But I don't like to be at odds. My wife and I have a difference. What a beautiful thing that is to be reconciled. That's such a good feeling when I know that I've messed up and that I'm reconciled back with her. And that's the way David felt here. He didn't want to be at odds with God. But he knows now that, hey, I'm reconciled. We're reconciled. God has forgiven us of those errors. And as Chris talked about this morning, even more so with a sinner that's reconciled to God. What a great thing. But David realized that God's displeasure with him is no longer there. They've been reconciled. And God's favor is upon them. That's a place to be. That blessing was upon Obed-Edom. That first attempt to rescue the cart was a big deal. I call this a glorious event. But this second time was even a greater event than the first attempt. Because God's blessing was on it the second time. It wasn't the first time. They were careless in the way that they handled things. It says that he went with gladness. David wanted the ark of God, wanted the presence of God. And he went there with gladness. David's on fire. David's on fire about God at this point. Verse 13, it says, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. He only went like 9 yards. And they stopped. Why'd they stop after only 9 yards? Dave said, it's time to praise God. It's time to give thanksgiving to God. We know He is pleased. We have been reconciled to Him. And His blessing is upon us. Let's thank God for His blessings upon us. Sometimes I like to look at what it doesn't say. What it doesn't say? It doesn't say that David took a new cart to get the ark. No. All that stuff was in the past. They realized the mistake that they had made. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross. Or we could paraphrase that or change it a little bit and say, strictly to God's word I cling. David said, we're going to do it right this time. So, as they went, how did they go and pick that up? They went and picked it up just like they were instructed to pick it up. Those priests went. Those two staves went through the four rings. They picked those staves up, put them on their shoulders, and moved the ark that way. They did it in the way that God had instructed them earlier to do it, that they had neglected to carry it out that way. But David knows after those 9 yards that God is satisfied. David offers up those sacrifices for those former errors. And also, what do we do when we offer up sacrifice of praise? For what's been done. For the blessings that was upon Obed-Edom's house. Verse 14 says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. With all his might, his whole heart, his whole mind, his soul, all his strength, David was consumed with the presence of God. Psalm says there to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. God is greatly to be feared. They did this reverently. This is how we're to worship. Did others dance? I don't know. It doesn't say that they did. I don't know that they didn't. But I know David danced. David was excited about the presence of God. It says David wore an ephod. David abased himself. You know, David didn't have on his kingly robe and his crown. He was like a commoner. He was like just one of the simple folks there. What pictures we could draw out of this. His robe for mine. A wonderful exchange. How did Jesus dress? You ever think about that? We see pictures and all that. He dressed like everybody else. Did he have on a long robe? Did he have the widened borders on it to make him stand out? No. Now, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he returns, he'll stand out. But he abased himself. And this is what David did. He abased himself. Verse 15 says, so David and all his house and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, I like this, but I like what I like the account there in 1 Chronicles 15 even more so. You know, sometimes, like in the Gospels, you'll get certain details here and certain details there, and you know, you can put them together. But in Chronicles, it says they brought the ark back with shouting, cornets, trumpets, cymbals, psalteries, harps. I mean, that gives you more adjectives to it, more information to it. So they're excited that God is with them. We ought to be excited that God is with us. You know, I think the definition of excitement is Acts chapter 3. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. You know, a man who's crippled from birth has been sitting out for over 40 years. He's been crippled. And he's sitting there at the gates before the temple there, before they go in, the doors of the temple, every day. Somebody has to carry him out there just so he can sit there and ask for alms. And then when Peter and John came walking by, Peter looked at him, said that, you know, they caught eye contact. In other words, there was visual words right going on. This guy's like, oh, I got his attention. Maybe he's going to help me. Peter says, hey, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have from God, I'll give you. He says, rise and walk. I mean, you talk about an exciting time. It doesn't get any better than that. He asked for that, and he's healed. It says he jumps up. And how did he enter the temple? He jumped up. He's leaping, walking, and praising God. This man now could walk. This man could work. This man could worship at his will. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, another thing I believe about this man is that when he went all the time to worship, whatever job he had was more than he ever had before. So the only job he had was asking other people. Now he works. I believe he's giving out to other people as he goes in. He says, here, God's blessed me. I want to bless you. He could share with others outside the temple the gospel. He says, this is what God has done for me. He could share that inside the temple as well. This man was like David. He was on fire. And that's why David was. Verse 16, it says, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she was thrilled in her heart. No, it doesn't say that. It says she despised him in her heart. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you hate your husband because he's excited about the Lord? What did she see when she looked out that window? What did she see? She saw David acting below who he was. below his royal position, beneath his royal position. He was acting undignified for a king. You know, what's people going to think about me now if my husband's acting like that? If he's acting like a commoner, they may treat me like a commoner. She wanted no part of that. What did she see? She saw David out there excited about God. What didn't she see? She didn't see the presence of God. You know, she's referred to here as what? Saul's daughter. Well, this distinguished her from all the other women that may have been named Michal. It also gave her another distinction, that she was a lot like her father. You know, her dad could care nothing about, less about anything about the things of God or the presence of God. She was much like her daddy. She wasn't like her husband. She wasn't even like other blood. Remember, Jonathan loved God. And you could see that in Jonathan's life. But that was not Michal. She despised, she hated David, or had contempt for him, rendering him as worthless. In verse 17, it says, "And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." David had anticipated a successful mission. He had already prepared a place for the ark. He wasn't just hoping. He knew that God's blessing was upon this mission and it was going to be successful. As soon as the ark is set in its place, what's he do? He offers up burnt offerings. We'll read verse 18. It says, "And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts." Like I said, the ark is set in his place, the place that David had prepared for it. They give God thanks again. Remember, they started off that way. And now if this mission is complete, they're offering thanks once again. David is so thankful for the blessings of God and that the ark is back, the presence of God. You know, Matthew Henry, he said, "All our joys must be sanctified both with praise and prayers." Verse 19, it says, "And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house." You know, as soon as David had finished the offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. David had a sincere love for the people of God. And he demonstrates this love that he has. Matthew Henry also made this statement. He says, "When the heart is enlarged in cheerfulness, the hand shall be opened in liberality." I believe the man in Acts 3 was like that. I don't think he said, "Oh, you know, now I can make some money. Now I can build up a savings account." No, I think he went by and said, "Hey, let me help you. Let me help you. I've been blessed. I've been helped. Let me help you." What a blessing that is. Verse 20 says, "Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself.'" David is on fire for God, and he can't wait to get home and share what God has done. Just think about who David is. David has killed a lion. He's killed a bear. He's killed a giant Philistine. He's won all kind of battles. He's been anointed as king. But you know, he's never returned with such fulfillment as this. And he just can't wait. He is excited about God and what he's done for his people. This was a glorious time. David hasn't even made it through the front door. And what's he hit by? A big bucket of cold water. I'm going to put that fire out. You've been out there acting like that, disgracing me. I'm going to put that fire out. Well, we see here that all the people are pleased with David and the ark being back. But Michal has no concerns for the presence of God, and she's displeased with David acting as a commoner. So Debbie Downer and her bucket of water, she tries to quench that excitement about God and what God has done, but that's not going to work. We see here David replies. And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." We see here that the ark of God was a stumbling block. As Chris talked about, it was a rock of offense to Michal. This was all foolishness to her. David says, "Michal, I didn't do it for you. I did this for God." He said, "It was good and it was proper. It was decently and in order before the Lord." Before God. The one, Michal, that chose me over your father. He says, "I understand that your daddy had little or no regard for God or the things of God." He says, "But Michal, I do. And I want to restore that love for God and his presence to all the people of Israel. And Michal, if it seems vile to you, you haven't seen nothing yet. Because I'm not going to stop. That water you threw on me, it was like pouring gasoline on a fire. You've only caused that to excite me that much more. As far as the way I acted out there, or because I wasn't in my kingly garb," he said, "Michal, you don't understand. I've got to decrease. God's got to increase." David was telling Michal like Elijah told the false prophets. He says, "Michal, go ahead and fill the trenches up. Fill them up with water. But we're going to have a sacrifice." He says, "You can't put this fire out. God will lick up all that water. So it's not going to be quenched. So Michal, you can either jump on the glory bus or you can stand in front of it. You've got your choice. It'll run over you." Also, those lowly commoners that you referred to, they'll honor me. Verse 23, it says, "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death." This is such a sad verse. What a miserable life for Michal to live. Think about Michal and Abigail. They both come from wealth. Abigail says, "Look, I'm willing to leave it behind. I'm willing to be on the run, you know, because I want the right thing done." She appreciated God. Michael's like, "No, I want to live here in my kingdom. I want people to think well of me." And yet, you know, the thing back then was to have a child. And she could not have a child. Now, whatever this was, whether it was David having nothing physically to do with her, whatever the case was, but David didn't curse her, but God cursed her. And she did not have a child for the rest of her life. And I believe she lived a miserable life. You know, earlier in Samuel, we had read in 1 Samuel, "For them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You know, Michal, you really think that you want people to look up to you and respect you, and yet you won't have nothing to do with God? He said, "That's all in vain." So is the gospel, I ask you, is the gospel a rock of offense to you? You know, if it is, you need to repent, and you need to come to know God. Believe on Him. Either you believe on the rock, or you'll be crushed by the rock. You know, then for us, greatly is the Lord, greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. That's ours. That's ours to do. We are to praise God. And we ought to do it as David did. We ought to do it as the man there in Acts 3 did, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray if there's any here that are outside of Christ, that they'll come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that none of us will carry ourselves in such a manner to where we think we're above anything, and that we need to be like John the Baptist. We need to see God. That ought to be our goal, is to see God increase, see Christ increase, and see ourselves decreased. Lord, may You bless Your Word, and we'll thank You for it all. In Christ's name, amen.